Welcome to Crippled System, episode 26.
It's 27?
It's 26.
Oh, damn it.
And who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Travis. And I play every faction of War Machine and Hordes, including the upcoming Convergence.
Oh, so you like to play with Convergence.
Yes. Travis is putting on his like sexy late night DJ voice.
Yeah. You're welcome,
Nate. To sexy Travis's sex songs for sexy people. Coming up next is Sex Bomb by Tom Sexy Jones.
Followed by Sex Farm.
Sex Farm. I love Sex Farm. That song is available for Rock Band on the PlayStation 3, yeah. And I sure did download it instantly. Yes.
It's a great song.
Sex Farm by Spinal Tap.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Working on a sex farm.
Yeah.
Gonna plow your fields. No?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's the best fake band ever.
I'll download it and I'll put it at the end of this podcast.
Okay. Or the beginning. Farm.
Yeah, we can't have it. Well, we probably could. Follow with Travis's nice little ditty.
See, and you said we have problems with intro. We haven't got
Yeah, it's a whoops.
So who is next to Travis?
Oh. Which direction, left or right?
Well, that's why I stopped.
Yeah,
that was
my own little...
Yeah. Make sure you point. Make sure you point at him, because that pointing goes over really well over audio.
I'm Dan Garces. I play Circle.
And
excellent.
David, put the book down for a second.
I'm David. I play Protector to Menno.
And that's the only thing David's going to say because he has a Convergence book in his hands and he's too excited to talk.
Yeah.
That's Brian Carnage for you. I play Crix and Scorn.
This is Andy. I almost said Trollbloods, but I play Legion badly. So.
I'm Nathan, and I don't think what I did today qualified as playing War Machine. I got two wins, and one of them was a bye.
Did you lose War Machine, or did War Machine lose you?
Oh, everybody lost. There were no winners in that travesty.
You won a coin.
You got a coin.
Oh, that's a spoiler. That's totally a spoiler.
I beat every single minion player at that event to get the minion coin.
Every player in this room got a coin today, I believe.
Yep. Yeah,
everyone got coins. Coins for everyone.
I'll point out the three guests. They are all from the Milwaukee meta, and we like two of them.
You can pick which two.
It changes every hour. And it's never Travis.
I think. You say, I thought hour is like way too lenient for you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just. Well, today, I like you more because second half of the day, you were just sad. I love sad Travis.
That's
my favorite.
That's Derek Kane's fault, but we'll get to that in a little while.
Despondent, sad, angry Travis is my favorite. Mad at the world.
Isn't that the only Travis?
Well,
mad when he wins.
Oh, my God.
No tears now, only sleep.
In the beginning. Travis always starts off kind of happy, and then he falls into like just disparaging sadness by the end of every con or event.
I'm normally happy.
I think that's like, you know, average day. Like, you wake up happy every day, you just end sad.
I think Travis is like doing some...
That's sort of true.
Travis doing some like convoluted troll or something against me because the person I chit-chat with on Google Talk is always happy and chipper. I'm like, hey, buddy, how's it going? It's sunny outside. Hooray for life. And then I see Travis in person just like, I hate everything. I wish death was more.
But you're not on Google Talk anymore.
I am. My phone does. Well, my phone downloaded something called like Touch Butts or something.
Yeah, there's no Google
Hangout.
Google
Talk. Yeah.
It's all Google Hangout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really dumb.
I don't want to hang out.
Yeah.
Meh. Yeah.
I don't like change.
Change is bad.
Change is bad.
Stupid Google.
This is America.
America. We don't change. Meh.
I did love that Onion article when Obama was first running for president. It was like black man asked people for change. Oh, it was hilarious.
I get it because he's black.
Thanks, Brian.
Funny because it's horrible.
Yeah, welcome to our podcast, guys.
And we're done. So,
speaking of coins and stuff, people played today. Talk about that.
I'll start because I did the worst. Okay. No.
I went 2-2. What did you do?
2-2?
Yeah.
Andy, how did you do?
Yeah, 2-2.
With a bye. You and
with a bye.
Bye, buddies.
Yeah. Bye, buddies.
We can be bye together.
Yay.
Wait.
That explains a lot.
I moved out because the temptation was too much. He was right on the other side of the bedroom wall.
I kept on knocking.
We do Morse code like in Let Me In or Star Trek V.
Hmm?
They can't hear you.
Is that why you got the hole saw?
hole.
Oh, we patched up the glory hole.
Nate, you are too stunned to talk. They cannot see your expression of what the hell.
I made the mistake of deciding that I was thirsty enough to drink the last RC-10, and I was not thirsty enough to drink the last RC-10.
Once you open it,
you have to finish it. But that's
true. Yeah. Beware of everyone at DICON. I'm bringing down a case. For my opponents.
You have a case?
RC-10 can be to our
buy
fans.
A case for it.
It can be to our fans like Faygo is to Juggalos. They'll show their fandom by drinking nothing but RC-10.
Yeah, they're just being like...
I love that, like, Faygo is utter shit. Like, that's why it exists. It's generic.
But it tastes good, though. Well,
yeah, fine, but it's cheap. It's generic. It's the bargain soda that you drink because you're too poor to afford Sunkist or Coke. And so... But then, like, ICP started talking about it, and so people started importing Faygo to, like, California and New York and stuff because it's a Midwest thing. So they were paying, like, $50 a case to ship Faygo to the coast. And it's like, guys, you're missing the point. That's my story. Also,
very
I sucked
good.
Today.
So anyway, we had a War Machine Hordes tournament.
Yeah.
You played Minions. Good job.
Yes. I lost, and then I got a bye, and then I lost again, and then I won. And the game I won, Glenn did very, very badly. that was my recap. Oh, but I did. I
know that was the fastest recap of a tournament ever.
My third round, I did get caster kill. Like the matchup was so bad that I just decided that I didn't want to play it anymore. So I killed Arcadius with his own Warhog.
Well, yeah, you were gonna
wait. You just turned a Warhog and just attacked Arcadius.
Yeah, I was just midway through my turn. And I'm like looking and I'm like staring. I'm like, what am I gonna do? And I tried like one thing and it was abysmal. And then actually what it really was is I went to Crippling Grass, the Bastions, and I walk – my first activation, I walk Arcadius forward to the wall, and then he's 9 inches away because I forgot to make that my second activation because the first activation should have been to craft Talisman so that he would have range to the Bastions. So his punishment for his failure, I'm like, oh, okay. This gun boar is going to try to headbutt Arcadius, and he missed. And then, yeah. Yeah, David doesn't have to talk because three of us were his opponents.
That is accurate.
But yeah, so I just headbutted him with a gun boar and then a Roadhog killed him.
Thanks for the victory.
No problem.
So did you mark that down as an assassination or what?
Hey, I killed a Warcaster, so I felt good about myself.
So in your Iron Grudge, that's an assassination victory?
Warcaster assassination.
You need to ask them to put that in there. I killed my own caster as their own little category.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's very close into the person that I took on one time that ended up throwing Kruger from one Feral Warpwolf to another Feral Warpwolf to a Gorax over a wall.
What? Kruger was way overexposed. I think it was Pat.
Yeah, I think it was Pat.
Kruger was way overexposed, so he's like, shit. And so a Feral grabbed him and threw him back like 7 inches, and then like a goat grabbed him and threw him back another 7 inches, and they just threw him like 3 times, and he ended up knocked down behind a wall, like in his own deployment zone. He was screwed.
That is the most convoluted method of keeping your caster alive ever.
Well, I don't think it was intentional. You know what I mean? Like, he did something, and then he moved on, and he's like, crap, I forgot to move Kruger back.
So that
was how he got Kruger out of the middle of the table and to the not middle of the table, where he was knocked out and had taken massive damage and got shot to death.
Yeah, I didn't do that. No.
Yeah. Well, I went 2-2 playing Legion.
Hey, wait, I had one other thing I was going to say before somebody interrupted me, which was I fulfilled my promise that I made on last episode of the podcast is come lunch. You know, my bye went very quickly. We went to Papa Bear's Barbecue and got some delicious, nutritious rib tips and hot links.
That was so delicious.
It was fucking amazing.
It was really good.
So if you're near Misty Mountain, I recommend going to Papa Bear's Barbecue.
Yes. Yes.
How are you recommending now?
That's not my official recommendation because this supersedes the recommendation. It deserves – the people need to know.
It was that good.
We got, and I get like through, I'm pacing myself and I eat, you know, a couple bites and I look up and Danny has literally, he's eating the plate. Like he's just holding the plate like it's an open faced sandwich made out of ceramic and just eating the plate with all the rib tips on it and just like giggling and orgasming.
It was really good.
There. Now that's my tournament recap.
All right.
Go, Travis.
Well, I came to the tournament prepared to play one of two factions. I brought Krix. And I brought Legion.
You brought like 4 crates of models.
Because it was faction fact. You wanted to play that you were trying to
I wanted to play the faction that had least players. And
except you chose fucking Legion.
That's your fault. You showed up late.
No, I showed up at the wrong store is what happened to me.
Yes, you did. I love getting those texts. I love we have two stores in town. Well, three. But I love getting a text from someone like right before the event starts. So we're not playing at the other store, are we? You're like, nope. But I know where you are.
Yeah.
And you know how long it's going to take him to get here.
That's usually a point on Lewis is what it usually is.
Yeah,
because it was Lewis last event and Andy this one.
So anyways, I had brought Legion and Crix. I've been practicing Legion for the last 2 to 3 months, actually longer than that, since March. I've been practicing Legion. So, what?
I'm looking at your Iron Grudge, and I see the A's and S's for Assassination and Scenario, but one of them has a 2.
2 is second tiebreaker from Death Clock.
Oh.
Or from Time Turns.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
So I'll go through that in my recap. Is that okay?
Sorry. I'll be quiet.
We love you, Nate.
Let's fuck off. Do your stupid thing.
All right. Anyways, let him talk. So I brought
Yeah.
I brought Crix and Legion.
Don't interrupt Travis.
He's trying to tell a story.
I'm sorry.
It's important.
Hey, Brian.
Hold on.
Nate's
Travis.
My favorite judge in Madison.
Travis, what were you saying, Brian?
What? I said, let Sam talk. I mean, Travis, whoever he is.
You're such a dick.
I mean,
you could I knew it was going to happen.
You made it pretty far without the Sam reference. That's pretty impressive.
It's not...
No, you made it less than like 20 minutes.
That's pretty far for us. It wasn't immediate.
And you didn't make it last episode.
You should have just owned it. If you just introduced yourself as Sam like you were going to, you could have owned the word. You could have taken the power out of it. You know,
you just wanted to hear me say, I am Sam.
You could have taken Sam back.
You just said you were Sam. Great. We got it recorded.
Next April Fool's interview. I'm just going to have you say that over and over again.
What? I am Sam.
Yes!
I
am Sam. We got two different vocal inflections. Fuck yeah.
Well, anyways, I had brought Legion and Crix.
Travis is trying to talk.
Touche, good sir. Touche. So I brought Saren and Vale 2. Vale 2 being Jake Van Meter's Vale 2 theme force. Yes,
speaking of Jake Van Meter,
I brought his theme force.
You're sitting in Jeremy's seat too, so that's probably why.
Fantastic.
That's probably why you're getting interrupted a lot.
Jeremy and Katie have family in town, that's why they're not here this week.
I don't know whose seat is which in this new room because we haven't had the standard crew here yet, ever.
Whatever. I figured I was going to be the Jeremy of the group. That's what happens when I go to the tournament.
He's using my microphone because it's got the red. Red Cock cable that I'm lovingly caressing here for some reason.
Wow. So anyways, I had Saren, Vale 2. Both theme forces were tier 4. Went with them instead of playing 6's 3 and Wraithwitch Denigra, which would be Denigra 2 as Crix. Yeah, that's because Andy showed up late.
Right, there was one Crix player and no Legion player.
No, there's one and one.
Oh, there's one in one.
Tony and Jason both had Crix and Legion. And then Andy showed up with Legion, and then the balance was all skewed, and I had already written out my Legion list and was not going to break out the Crix list at that time.
Oh, that's fine.
But whatever. It's what happens.
It's all good.
Way to go, Andy. At least he didn't make it so that there was 17 people or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be an awkward tournament.
Way to show up at the wrong store, make us wait for you, have it be the 17th person at a tournament, and have Travis play the wrong lists.
It's I got the bye first round, too, so I had an entire round for me to leave. But then Brian decided that, like, hey, you got to try to get the coin away from Travis.
You know, this is why actually, Nate's my favorite judge in Madison, and he's my favorite PG in Madison. Brian's way low on the totem pole. Like, way low
on the surprised I'm on it.
He sees the stump that's in the ground on the totem pole.
Yes.
That's where your heart is.
Oh, Brian, you're always on Travis's pole.
Really, Nate?
Oh. No, it's totem pole you were talking about. And he said he was surprised he was on his totem pole. Oh, you were like you thought I meant your erect penis. I wasn't talking about your erect penis. It was topical. Oh, with the totem
Nate, pole. To be fair, you can't really get it erect.
Wow. Wow.
We've tried.
Hey. One kid. Proven.
I just
that proves that your wife can have children. Doesn't prove that you've done anything.
That's also very true. That's also really true.
I mean, the child is Mexican. I mean, that's...
Oh, come on, though. No. Jeez.
I don't know what's happening. So you're also you get the all the everything just gets aimed in that chair range too. So
that is the Jeremy chair.
Wasn't so. I Jeremy like the center of focus before Jeremy was at the store?
No, it was
years ago.
It was a different. Well, years ago,
you were more of a running gag. Like, Jeremy's just the court jester that gets all the abuse, but you were just the, hey, every single tournament, Travis is going to show up and go 3-1 and lose in the championships to Brian.
That's true. That happens all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between the two of us, I think I enjoy that more than you do, though.
Yeah, because you win them all. Especially when you cheat, when you make a thresher attack without declaring
you're
it.
You're still bitter about that.
He's so bitter. And I was going to mention it, too. I was like, I don't need to mention it. He's going to bring it up. Yeah. Of course he threshered. When you charge a Rhinodon into an arc of like 8 enemy infantry models.
No, it's 4 shredders. It's 4 shredders, because I was bringing...
And an attack... It's gonna be a thresher.
You have to declare it. I'm a judge. You have to declare it.
You were well back in those days. You weren't a judge. You were just
you're just Travis.
Just a Travis.
You were just a Travis. You're just a
Travis. Wow.
Okay, Travis. And plus, I mean, highest scoring judge ever here. So I don't need to hear your shit.
Oh snap.
So
I don't know that's still true.
So what are we going to get like the first audio stabbing? You're going to hear somebody just the life leave from their body on air.
So anyway, I haven't actually gotten past what lists I brought.
Yeah.
No, you gave your lists.
You said you played...
I brought Veil 2 and Saren.
Yeah, well, there we go.
And Asphyxius 3 and...
I brought like a whole bunch of Crick's theme forces, but those were the two I was going to play.
Round one.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I got to play round one against Jordan of Kador, playing the Butcher 2, or Zaktavar 2, yep. Doom Reaver spam. And both Jordan and I looked at each other and went, I know what list you're playing, and we both picked the list for the other. And, it was both the list that we expected, which was Doom Reavers versus Saren. And
that's just a mess.
It was a mess. It was a fantastic mess. I killed 30-odd Doom Reavers on feat turn, or turn after feat turn. It was something ridiculous. So I ended up losing it by making a critical mistake with Saren and not moving her to free up an Angelus to go kill the Butcher when he's on zero focus.
Yeah. Zero focus medium base casters don't like armor piercing charges.
Because you sent Saren instead of moving forward, repulsing the air.
I had to move Saren from behind the wall, taking a free strike from Zaktavar, with Slipstream up, walk next to the Angelus, pull the Angelus back 2 inches away from Fenris, who's base to base, then repulse with Saren pushing Fenris back out of melee, and then turning the Angelus around and walking in, stabbing Butcher to death, which was just a last ditch, not realizing that I had a better play. As soon as I finished my turn, I'm like, oh, I know what I could have done. And by then, it's way
kind of a
too
hard thing
late.
To see. Like, that's like a convoluted series.
It is.
Of things.
It wasn't like one move. It was
no,
a combination.
It's like I spent time looking at it going, I could use Blightbringer and kill the 3 Doom Reavers or 2 Doom Reavers and Fenris hanging around Angelus, and it's like, I could use that to kill him. Wait, no, because Fenris is going
to
place. Yeah.
And
to right
me,
next
that's to this is a time turn event. If it was Death Clock, you may have
had
it.
You
would
have caught it.
It's a different heaven. And I've been making our players go back and forth. We go to out of town to Death Clock, then we play time turns here, trying to get all the constant.
Because I had like 2 minutes left when that came up. And when you have 2 minutes left, you just don't have the.
Yeah, you don't have time.
You have to do it.
Death Clock, I'm sure you would have thought of it. Time turns.
Because as soon as I finished my turn.
Plus, it was so ungodly hot in that store.
Oh, my God.
I was sweating so much.
Yeah. And sweating and time. It just, I didn't fucking.
So,
told you to wear assless chaps.
Oh.
So, anyhow. So, I gave Jordan a run for his money, trying to beat Butcher. It was on the most god-awful table that Brian has ever produced.
Yes. I'm proud of that shit.
You do not have to put six
that,
linear obstacles that are nothing.
They're
just linears.
I took a picture of it. I will post a picture of it because I knew
it is the most awful terrain
your
you've ever made.
Your bridge table is bastardly but playable. Your hill fort is bastardly but playable.
I don't
this
know.
One
I
was
think
just
the hill fort's
shit.
Delicious. I love that hill fort.
I've had people threaten my life over that hill fort. Like my life has been threatened. If I
get to play that hill fort again with an end mission caster, I'll love it to death.
Yeah. No, people. I have been.
People hate it when I play that.
This was just all. I'll post a picture of it because it's too
it was
awkward.
Bad. Yeah,
1,000 needles is a better. Table was, than that yeah. one.
It was such a bad table.
No, 1,000 Hills is a better table than that one.
It was very wide open. It had a couple. It had a lot of obstacles. It was like 6 obstacles.
It was
6 hill,
obstacles
wall,
that were nothing.
Wall in the middle. Wall on a hill, of course. Yeah.
It was great 40K terrain.
Yeah. 40K terrain.
We used all the terrain. I think the No Quarter 5 or 6 had an article how to make all this terrain, like do jack traps and spikes and all these weird things.
That was a while ago.
It was, and one of our players made a bunch of stuff for an event, and I just put all that. And I also had a problem. Misty, unfortunately, has the worst terrain, or the least amount of variety of terrain.
in a store, so I was getting desperate, so I needed to put something on that last table.
Yeah, they do have a lot of 40K terrain, too. Like, they have the, like, 17-inch wide forests.
Yeah.
Which don't help when all, so. Unless you're playing Legion. You're like, oh, this is delicious.
So I had to get creative. I still liked it.
Yeah, I could have brought
Nate,
some.
Jordan and I enjoyed playing it. It was just like, I'm going to go sit behind the wall game.
Me and Dave did not.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Well, it's wide open. It's a very wide open board.
I won by scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Well, I mean, he could have been in both. So I mean, well, we're gonna.
Yeah, anyhow, we'll get to that. Yeah. Second game.
If people don't complain about your terrain, you're not doing it right.
That's also true.
That's my opinion of the tournament organizer.
No, because everyone complains about my terrain at my tournaments, or used to complain about my terrain at
Which
my tournaments.
You're doing it right.
Yeah. You're doing it right.
Like, if people don't complain,
it's not necessarily,
like,
you, but it's other people.
When people are like, "Oh, it was so dumb," like that one hill, like that one building got in the way. Well, good. That means it defined how you played the game. It mattered.
Yes. Well, it
if the terrain
yeah.
doesn't enter into the scenario, well, then what's the point?
If you're playing at a convention or anything like that where you have a giant 24x24-inch square in the center of the table that doesn't have any terrain or any line-of-sight blocking terrain or cover or anything like that, you are doing it wrong.
Yeah, like you'll put one thing in each corner and then you just leave that hole open as a parking lot so that people can charge each other. Like,
or shoot all day.
Make it matter. Yeah.
Because you need linear obstacles, you need forest, you need all that to make melee games actually work.
You're talking a lot about War Machine.
I think I'm going to start using shallow water at my events, and I'm going to declare that that at my tournaments it's mud. And I'm
Can we do deep water instead?
No, I'm going to use my dream shallow water rules that I hope.
Hey,
they
first of all, it was right. my dream rules. You stole my rules.
Fuck you! I stole them from me.
So second round, I played against Glenn, who was playing Circle, and then proceeded to put every buff he could to protect himself from Veil 2 with Animi and upkeeps.
So he's like, I got all these spells out here. You can't possibly get around that.
And dropped it down to zero fury. And then I feeded. And then he died.
Wow. Well, you know, he had a plan.
It didn't work.
It did not work.
I activated two models that turn and he died.
Oh. Why did it take a second one?
Because it was Veil 2 and I couldn't triple obliterate him.
Oh, okay.
So I had to fully boost the two.
Oh, okay.
So
darn.
And then I was very frustrated after that game, just because. And then we went out to eat, and then came back, and
say when you got DQ'd.
And then
over.
So went to lunch, came back from lunch, decided to hit Dairy Queen up before the next round because
Nathan. Where'd you go for lunch, Travis?
We went to Papa Bear's.
It was delicious.
Nutritious, delicious Papa Bear's barbecue, rib tips, and hot wings. You didn't get out of it. This son of a bitch, I don't think he's a human being or he's a communist or something, because he got a full meal and it had a wonderful flaky buttery biscuit, and he's like, he was gonna have the waiter throw it away. Like, the guy's like, are you done? And Travis's like, yeah, and he just threw the biscuit in there with like the paper towels and shit, and I'm like, you fucker, that's a good biscuit. And I ate it and it was delicious.
I don't like biscuits.
It was
what
delicious
the fuck.
I don't like biscuits.
Even Jeremy likes biscuits.
Can we get a picture of you and then just have
Even
the bottom
Hitler
of the t-shirt?
Biscuits.
It just says,
I don't like
biscuits.
I don't like biscuits.
Not even the picture. Just need a. I'm going to make you that shirt. You'd have to wear it.
Sam hates biscuits.
Sam no like biscuits.
My God, if you're going to come up with awesome quips, you got to get closer to the mic.
Switch microphones with Dan or something. Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so anyhow,
Dairy Queen.
Dan, shut up.
Went to Dairy Queen because
no
Nathan got a text
sorry,
from Brian
you, Travis.
Saying that there's 20 minutes left before the round started from lunch because we got out of lunch really easy. Or real
Travis
early.
Is late.
And went to Dairy Queen.
Pay attention to what Travis is saying.
Ordered a strawberry sundae. And
keep letting him talk.
Let him finish the anecdote. I want to pretend to be interested.
He's smiling now.
Put an order
He's
in.
Telling a story.
Four people went through. Then Pat went through, who was a local. Got his stuff.
Still
then
going.
Four more people went through. And then I complained about not getting my shake very upsettedly because I was standing there very.
I walked in there. He was so. He looked so mad. I was so happy. He was just so despondently angry. And I just got the biggest smile on my face. And I was like, okay, it's a good day.
See, Travis is angry there, for like half this tournament.
Yeah. I went into DQ later and I almost took a picture of a random like 6-year-old child because it was the most adorable thing.
Wait, what?
It was adorable.
Wait. So are you a pedophile or are you not?
It was adorable, but I was like, oh, just look creepy. Just this random kid coming in. Yeah, well, because what was happening is I walk in there, his kid's just got ice cream all over his face. Like, he doesn't know how to eat an ice cream cone. Because what he's doing is he was holding the cone with his left hand, and he was reaching into the cone with his right hand and just scooping the ice cream out and eating it. Like, he wasn't just holding the cone and eating the ice cream. He's grabbing fistfuls of ice cream from out of the cone, and it was like, aw. What? It's cute.
Nate gets excited because small child is covered in whipped cream.
Closer to the mic.
Close to the mic. That's probably, that comment's better off the mic.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Nathan does not like 6-year-olds. They have to be at least between 8 and 12. Oh, six okay. is too young people.
I think we have established this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, I got back to the...
It was adorable.
I got back to the next round.
and he was late.
The
fuck you. I have a 6-year-old. I can find them adorable.
The pairings were already out. And then I had to proceed to play a slogfest of a game against Tony, who's playing Legion, with Bethane and two units of Hex Hunters. And the game was really rough on me.
Tony from Chicago.
Yep. Well, Tony plus Payton. Travis. I mean, Travis was douching him out of stuff, too.
Yes. So. I did not douche him out of stuff. He played it wrong, and I corrected him.
If you won't let people do maintenance phase stuff halfway through their activation phase, what kind of a person are you?
I'm the right
one.
You want
to be that kind of a person, Tim?
Absolutely.
You're not going to
remember,
let me...
not declaring Thresher.
I left so many years later.
Yeah,
we could probably pick up all those games, every game. That
I imagine Travis just tossing, turning, but just, Thresher, no.
I'm pretty sure it was P-Hexy beatbacking through your Shredder spamming.
That also, now. That started it, and then you Threshered with a muck, and yeah, it was just whatever. Anyhow, so I didn't allow him to take his incubi after he had put the coin or put the tokens out or whatever. And he's like, oh, I activate this unit to declare charge. I'm like, pick up your coins or your tokens. He's like, huh? Oh, I'm going to put those out now. And yeah, no. That doesn't fly against
That's a weird mechanic. They just put tokens. I wish they worked slightly differently. It's just a weird thing.
It is.
To forget.
It's so awkward.
Yeah. It's well, so they weird. Used to pop out immediately. And they wanted to prevent the shenanigans of you shooting your own incubi people and popping incubi out so they
to
go
get
and
second attack.
Although
yeah.
the flip side is if they came out immediately and couldn't activate, then they would just get killed.
Exactly.
They wouldn't get anything at all out of them.
It makes sense, but it's awkward. So I had to correct him on that. And then I watched my entire army vaporize to Bethane's feet turn while I was under Saren's feet. And I ended up winning 4 control points to 0 on dice down after having 2 models left on the table. So, yeah, it was a very long game. And then proceeded immediately into the next game where I had to play against David. And he had Krios 2, and I had Saren 2. Or Saren, not Saren 2.
Saren 2.
I can't wait for Saren
2. Yeah, pre-release models.
I wish. And then we had a footslog game.
It just sounds brutal, too.
The game was brutal. I have been surprised twice today on how many models I can kill on a turn with the Saren theme force. Because, oh my god, I can kill a lot of models. Overtaking and Jedi kill
yes.
everything.
Especially when they're charging in for free.
Yes, it's the Sorceress and Hellion is one of the coolest models in Legion when everything in your army has to have wings. Because the Nephilim...
Just in general. Like, not even, like, because you need to take her. Like,
correct.
She's... That anti-range bubble around
her the 8-inch bubble.
8-inch
bubble of death is... I've caught people with that where it's like, I'm going to fly this up to you, and you can't kill it now because there's stuff behind it. Or it's behind, like, your front line, and you're just not making range attacks, and it's so rough.
It's nice to catch Krix players who try to Biothrall Purge.
Oh,
and you're like, nope.
That's really mean.
Nope.
Not at all. So, we had that sort of... It was a massive game, or just a destruction of models all over the place. So I feated first, killed a bunch of his models. He counterfeited, killed everything pretty much that went into his army. And I was left with like 7 models, which like no Angeli, because I screwed up and put Respawn on the wrong one. Respawn does not go on the Angeli next to Fire of Salvation. Keyword, don't ever do that. So I made that mistake, but whatever. And then...
why not?
Additional dice. They're
no,
pretty good.
It's just dispel on both melee weapons.
Oh,
and when
dispel.
Krios 2 feats, you're like, don't, there's dispel. Oh, no, you don't have no respawn.
I forgot about the dispel.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
I thought it was just on the mace.
Yeah, nope, it has.
Yeah, so it's on both. So it was a very sad day for that in July. But then I ended up going up 2 control points to 0, and then had to fight, just force Dave to come to me because I could attempt to clear the zone out each round, And if I could do that twice more, I'd win. So it ended up being that I could not prevent Dave from throwing too many models in and lost to Krios killing something. I think it was a protector.
Yeah, the Krios came across, killed a protector, and allowed the Knight Exemplar Senshell to kill Saren.
So just the... it was what it was. And then ended up winning Best Legion.
You did get a Legion coin.
And then, I'm not sure who got Best Legion. You just said...
You actually won Best Legion by strength of schedule, but I had 2 Legion coins.
So, and you got the other Legion coin.
Spoiler alert!
Sorry.
Spoiler alert. Look out.
I was going to give away, like, super long...
I'm sorry that my battle reports are really boring for you. And that they're not nearly as entertaining as yours, fresher. Nathan. So, yeah. At least this is an Amusement Minis battle report.
Holy fuck, has it really been a half an hour of Travis talking about his stupid battle reports?
If I went over my time of all the games I've beaten, Travis, we could have a podcast on it. I'm not sure what my favorite win
would
be. You
could have a Muse podcast on that.
A Muse podcast of all my favorite wins over. I remember Mark 1 when I jammed my Soul Hunters and held the line.
You know what we should do?
And in Oshkosh.
We should record for like three hours. And then release 10-minute snippets every day for a month just to outdo Muse.
Just have every day.
Just so we can go up to 200 immediately?
Yeah.
We'll have a race 1,000. Whoever gets 1,000
every
first.
Hour? Every hour, release 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut that. No.
And then I won Best Painted by sheer raffle choice.
Oh, my God, he's
choice.
Still talking.
4 people had fully painted armies, so was it?
Yeah, it's actually really nice armies. One of our locals, not that's saying about yours, one of our locals had a really awesome green.
Was that the green protectorate?
Yes,
that was
the green
really
protectorate.
Cool.
He like showed up his first day with a fully painted army. He's, oh, I want to play this game. Here's a fully painted army. He's like, holy crap!
Yeah.
See, if you're playing the first time, you think you know. You see, you're kind of you sit down against him. But if someone has a fully painted army, you assume they know things.
Yeah.
So he kind of got raffle stomped the first couple games because no one realized he was completely new. He read the book, so he had some core concepts pretty well. But man, he was.
Well, it's kind of like my grandfather when he died. I wore the same size shoes as him, so I just inherited his bowling shoes, bag, and ball because he was an avid bowler. And so I showed up at like a bad bowlers league, and I had my own shoes, bags, and balls. And people were like, "Oh my goodness, look at this ringer showing up at the bad bowling league." And I'm like, "Don't worry." And I bowled like my 63. And they're like, "Oh, okay, fine." I'm like, yeah, just because I got this shit doesn't mean I know how to use it.
So
yeah.
You don't ask them to put up the kitty bumpers for you in your bowl?
I'm in control of it. I rolled a 63 with that. Are you kidding me?
No, you really. And your Legion was painted nicely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very nice.
So I ended up buying a Succubus and 2 Spawning Vessel Acolytes with that.
Oh, very cool. So off to Dan, maybe?
Anybody.
Yep.
Anybody, please.
Oh, thanks, Nathan.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yep.
What a die.
I played Morvana 2 and Kruger 2, Wake of Destruction. First game, I played against Jeff playing Trolls. I won on Scenario because... I had my caster next to a flag he couldn't contest.
Which caster did you have? Was it?
Morvana 2.
Morvana 2. Which did it's he have? Borka good. or Jarl?
Jarl.
Okay.
Yep. When I randomly rolled up Incursion for Ron, I expected more games to be ended faster. Because Incursion, certain people would certainly list the fast roller. And Jeff, he changed jobs so he could start going to tournaments. He used to go to a lot of tournaments, but he couldn't work on weekends. But now he has a new job, so we'll be seeing a lot more of him. So he'll get some of the ring rust off and
awesome.
Whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have anything to contest that flag, which...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... then I played against Dave on an...
Their favorite training board of all time.
Bad table.
It was wide open. How is wide open bad? Like, wide open.
It was a bad table.
Which caster do you play, Dan? This will explain why wide open is awful.
I played Kruger 2, so when I feeded,
so on process
I pushed
elimination.
Everything away. He couldn't get in the zone.
To be flip side, though, he had a whole bunch of like non-reach jacks, and there were those linear obstacles. Like that had to be good for him, right?
It was.
Because then like, you're like a quarter
everything.
Inch behind a wall, and he gets to like... not
yeah,
attack you.
Exactly. It was
that's
really
good.
That would have been if the game went past turn 2.
Did you try not attacking any of his stuff impotently?
I heard Dave should have had a better list.
Dave didn't make an attack roll.
Oh.
Did I make an attack roll?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Hey, you guys got a longer lunch. I don't see the problem.
We did, and that lunch was delicious.
See, there you go. Everyone won.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
If your game would have kept going, they might have without you. You wouldn't have enjoyed the food. So
it would have been better really if we got medals for going to lunch.
Yeah.
You guys didn't invite me, though.
Were you still playing your game when we went?
Probably.
Yeah, we did a walk and we looked to see if there were games that were almost done, and they all looked.
Mine.
Although halfway through that walk, it occurred to me that I had no clue how to judge whether a game was almost done. I'm looking at a game for 10 seconds, nodding, pretending I know what I'm doing. Now I'm going to move on again and hope Danny doesn't catch on that I don't know what we're trying to find.
I actually, when I watch games, I don't know what's happening here.
Well, because anybody can get assassinated at any moment, or, you know, who knows what the scenario control points are.
And you just don't know, how far the turn is. You know, you just don't know which person sees what. Because I swear, when you watch a game, you see so many more lanes and opportunities than the person playing the game, because you're playing the game, so you're focused on so much other things that it's some of the obvious things you sometimes miss.
Maybe if you had larger turn timers, you would know how far they were on their turn.
The turn timers are fine.
Yeah, those egg timers are okay.
Yeah, they're egg timers.
They're super tiny.
They're a buck a piece. They beep. That's all you need.
Your turn
they
is
beep poorly.
Hey, it's still a beeping sound.
No, they don't beep poorly because you can hear those fuckers beeping, and then you have to figure out which of the 30 in the room is the one beeping.
Or when everybody's packing up at the end of the day, when they just throw them all into one box, and you're trying to figure out which one in the box is beeping. Yeah, that's fun.
That happened today, too. Jordan's like, well, this goddamn thing stop fucking beeping. He's just tearing through the box trying to find the one that's beeping. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Then I played against Zach playing Morvana 2. He played Morvana 1.
Zachity!
Yeah, that was a close game. I ended up killing his caster because he didn't have any transfers.
No!
Which
you should have transfers.
You don't bring Morvana 1 to a Morvana 2 fight. This is the.
Don't bring Morvana
1. You just need
1.
That as a giant propaganda poster.
I mean, I understand why they play caster, but 2 is just switched better than 1. It's like. Yeah. I just
don't think he's had practice with her.
I don't know how Zach
her.
Was doing, but like my fourth round opponent had Morvana 1 as well, and he just ran out of time every single turn. There's so much shit going on with the Harvest and the Regrowth.
There's a lot of models.
And he's got 50 models, and it just seems like a horrible
To be fair,
idea.
He didn't have Harvest or Regrowth, so, I mean,
did they?
You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
It's purification, you know.
Yes.
On the awesome spell list of Morvana 2.
Yeah.
So maybe he shouldn't have brought her.
Yeah.
Like, mishear that Morvana was a thing because
they
brought Morvana 1? Yeah. You know.
Well, there's 2 Morvana 1s and 2 Morvana 2s.
I must be missing something. I'll try her out again.
I completely. Because I don't even remember people bringing her before that point.
She doesn't reroll shit.
Yeah.
And she definitely doesn't have Carnivore.
Yeah.
That actually might make Morvana 1 really good.
Yeah. Well,
Carnivore?
Yeah, Carnivore is just stupid.
Carnivore
Fine,
and
take it off of Morvana 2 and give it to Morvana 1. Fucking bitch.
Yeah. She should not be able to heal like that. Just like, I'm going to reroll. Oh, I get a heal. Oh, good job.
Oh, man. Is it worth her taking the damage to reroll this? Oh, wait, yes, it always is. What a difficult puzzle.
As a Crix player, I don't see the problem.
I'm with Brian on this.
As a future Convergence player, I don't see the problem either, because that bitch isn't going to Carnivore nothing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the advice of, and I'm just going to take take my Sorsha 2, and I'm just going to remove everything from play.
There you go.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Shatterstorm for the win.
Shatterstorm, yep.
Witch Doctors.
Like I said, once I start playing Convergence for reals, yo, I'm going to always have a list that is nothing but constructs.
I make
just
sure I have one list
anti-Gaspy, anti-Morvana. You're not doing that shit against me.
Hey, don't
forget
Scabrous.
My Centurion Tier 4 list I have right now has 5 living models in it.
Don't forget Scabrous. He's got Excarnate too.
He's not as bad.
I
mean, Excarnate definitely is a thing,
but it's not what he does.
But it's not as
well. He can shoot like 8 of them out because they're all cheap and boosted and feet turn, and then he dies.
That's
the big difference.
Teleport.
As soon as you spend focus on Scarvers, you die.
Yes,
all right.
It's a trap. So then, my last game was playing against Keith playing Kane 1.
Keith would be the Iron Gauntlet winner, Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really fun to play against, though.
Yeah. Keith's always been great.
Wait, so you're saying never mind.
So it's 2-3-1 because you were 3-0.
I was
3-0.
I was a pair down. Yep. In a 7.
Playing against some loser with it.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the pair up. Oh, you think it'd be nice and easy, and here's Keith. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no chance that was arranged on purpose to ensure there was no fifth round.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there was
completely
ever a
random.
Chance.
Yeah.
Random.
Yeah.
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 Sheet.
You take the pile, you stuff them together.
Then you dig out the Keith one.
No one wanted to go 5 rounds.
Whose fault was that?
Well, I don't know.
It's Andy.
Yeah,
it's
No. I'm on Andy's side on this. It's all your fault.
Yeah.
You spent the entire first round convincing Andy to play when he was like, I'll drop to be
make it 16 rounds.
To be
round,
fair, I said, hey, if you stay, you can screw over Travis. That was like my sales pitch.
And somehow that works. And,
yeah. Well, it is fun to watch you get sad.
No, that's true.
It would have been better if we played each other, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That'd been really sad.
Yeah. Oops, so, sorry. So I lost that game.
Why did you lose that game? People to stop talking and then darting in.
He had six hunters, which is really bad when you have a lot of medium-based infantry.
He brought both of his lists. He knew Morvana, too, and he knew he was going to hunt. Ironically, he came prepared to take out Jordan's list, who he actually lost to, which is a funny... He basically net-decked Jordan's style of play and Morvana, too.
Yeah.
So he got the year matchup right. And I think against Jordan, he actually failed some attack rolls, which he might have won the game, but, you know... But you also scored... You both had...
I had four control points.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it was a close game. It wasn't like he just rolled you. Actually, he won 5-4.
And the one... When Keith lost Jordan, he had four control points. He just needed to get, like, one model out of the zone. He just couldn't get it.
Keith also took Conquest off the board in one turn.
Yeah, which well. Six hunters do.
Yeah. They're just done.
There goes a Colossal. See you.
Yeah, so he had a very good game plan. But I posted a picture on Twitter of that game because all those Man of Wars just all over the place. It was hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah. And I took second, going 3-1.
Awesome.
Yeah. Winning what? Best Circle and Best Hordes?
Yep.
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 Coins around.
Yep. Perfect.
David, put the book down and talk.
Well, three of those games will be easy. Cause
I was going to say, this will be short and sweet.
You have one game to talk about.
I was playing Protector today. My first matchup was against the Iron Lich. Which was just a straight-up slugfest. I played Krios 2, and yeah, it went bloody and messy.
That was against
our
local Jason Gargathor.
Jason, yeah. Yep. As soon as I heard Iron Lich, I'm like, well, that was Jason.
Yep.
Then after, he already heard about the battle report against Danny, which was game 2. I was blown around by E. Kruger to lose some control points real fast. Then game 3 was against Nate, who felt like eating his own caster, making it very easy.
Yeah.
And the last game was against Travis, which was another slugfest. And however, I came out on top with that one. I ended up finishing third, 3-1.
I know Travis. Travis had a. I mean, your first game, Jason. I know. I mean, E. Krios infantry spam versus Crick's infantry spam because he didn't have vials. I think you were going to crush him. But I know he had a lot of bad. He had some moments where he just couldn't roll dice to save him. I mean, he was in trouble anyway, but he never could catch a break. And sometimes when you're down in that matchup, you just need that moment where you can just spike something. And he never had any opportunity. And then you just army just. I saw you rolling him. I had to walk away. Like that's just not. I've been on that receiving end of an E. Krios attack, and I just.
You know, the easiest way to turn the tides with a Krios list, just feed. You don't have to roll. It's really easy.
It's really good when you ignore half of the attack.
Let me tell you what I have a great story about my E. Krios matchup. So.
Okay.
And he goes, recap is I ran the event.
Yeah. Good job.
Hold on. And you left at the beginning of a round.
I left at the beginning of round two. Nathan is having the bye. I leave the room. I leave the building for like...
Did you leave Nathan in charge?
Nathan's always in charge when I'm not there. I said any rules questions goes to Nathan.
So wait. You left a player in charge of your
judge. I had the bye. And I'm an officially sanctioned judge. Travis, I can't... Listen, Mr. Barely Passed. I'm an officially sanctioned judge.
Wow.
The only reason I didn't get a perfect score on the judge test is because I felt that it was my moral duty to point out to Will that I got one word wrong.
Yeah. You had the perfect score. So you know what? I don't want that. You knock me down a level.
Yeah. I don't want to get too full of myself, so take the 100% away from me. Give me the 99.9.
Okay.
He took it for the team.
Yeah.
Team player.
Well, so you know what?
You guys got to have something to strive for.
So Brian Truss leaving me in charge of terrain placement. Plus it was funny making Andy angry.
Oh my God!
It was the obvious thing. Like there was a building that was like an inch into a zone. So I moved it an inch the direction that took it out of the zone, and Andy was very unhappy with that.
It was more than an inch.
It was the minimal move. It was moving it in a single direction.
It was a list-deciding inch.
This after you picked lists?
Yes.
Well, then that's not my fault. You called me over. You're like, this terrain's illegal. It was process of elimination. So you got the two horizontal zones, and there was a giant building.
Those
in one
vertical.
Of them. So I put not. I was standing on the side of it, so it was horizontal to me. So the point is, I just moved the building in between the two zones.
It was the obvious
thing to do.
And
it was sitting
over
in
there.
One of them. I slid it over 2 inches, so it was in between them.
Yeah.
And then Andy's like, oh. What's great is he's like, you need to fix this. And I look, and I my eyes sweep over, and then they stop on the building, and Andy just goes, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Well, and then still. And then I'll spoil it. And then his opponent hid 4 void spirits behind that wall, and he forgot about it. I'll let him recap what happens when you do that.
So that was my first. Yeah, that was my first game. Well, actually, my first game was waiting for everybody to get done with their first game, because I had to buy first round.
Undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated, first round. Second round, I had to take on against Ben Lang.
Ben Lang's Mordekaiser insane spam list.
Yeah, it was a pretty decent list. Yeah, that stupid building got moved over, and he put 4 void spirits behind it. I knew they were there, and just for my angle, I could not see them, so I forgot about them.
True
and
line
I
proceeded of sight. You call to that move. Pulling a gym.
Yeah. True line of sight.
So I proceeded to move all of my poor Striders straight forward, and yeah, they're not fearless, and they're abominations.
And Void Spirit's like eating infantry.
Well, it didn't matter that they didn't actually kill any of them. They just proceeded to all come out, and then every single one of my Striders were running away. So all left is all my beasts. I did last a little bit longer, but eventually I just died. So that was round one. Round two, I lost the scenario against Troll Jeff. Round three, that's it. Yep. That one was a Lilith 2 versus Borka, which actually I out-attritioned with that list. Trolls.
Which is amazing, yeah. Because you shouldn't out-attrition Borka.
No, I should not out-attrition Trolls.
Borka's first Steam Force, not the second one. Because the second one's
Drunken and Disorderly, yeah.
Yeah, Drunken and Disorderly, I don't think it's as good as Family Reunion, but Family Reunion is amazing.
I would have had horrible times against Family Reunion. But you know, I did the right thing. I was having all my Striders combine ranges and take out one Long Rider at a time.
Yeah, killing those is really important.
And then my last match, which was against a local Jeremy, who had the beautiful Ikra. What are
he's
you?
He's yawning.
Oh. Listen.
Yeah.
Snore.
So I was up until 4 in the fucking morning because Keith texted me last night. He's like, hey, Marshall and I need a place to crash, so can we crash at your place? I'm like, sure, that's great. And then he's like, cool, we'll be there at 4.
That's what you get for agreeing before you ask for ETA.
So I had to stay up. Yeah, he ended up getting there like 3:30 in the morning. He's like, all right, we're here. We're like a block away. I'm like, oh, thank God.
To be fair, he's like, yeah, Nathan wanted to stop talking. I wanted to go to bed.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, fuck you then. I've been up until 3:30. So then he gets there and he's like, all right, I'm here. I'm ready to go to bed.
Huh? Why didn't you just go to bed and leave the door unlocked?
He couldn't find my place. Like, he got to my street, but he couldn't like find my parking lot and everything. So I had to guide him in. And then,
did you have like lights?
I reached down and guided it in. But the point is, like, I'm like, you know what? So he gets there and he's like, all right, I'm ready to go to sleep. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. You're not going to sleep now. So I had to be up till 3:30. I stayed up till 4:30 because I wasn't letting Keith go to sleep.
And then he showed up late for breakfast this morning.
Oh, because I was exhausted. I was up till 4:30 in the morning.
So my breakfast.
How the fuck did I not get invited to breakfast, here, too?
This is
I am taking the Nathan stance right now.
Here. Every Misty event ever, we have had breakfast at that deli next door at 9 o'clock.
Had I been notified that I wouldn't have showed up at Pegasus.
Brian, what did you say when we got there?
I said, I mentioned what he just said. Every single event, I always say, okay, well, meet at, you know, eat at 9, they open there at 9:30, and this is the one time I said I did not tell anyone because, you know, you think at some point they'd be smart enough to realize that they would, you know, catch on, that if it's every single time that, you know, here I am again.
So I'd asked Nate what time breakfast was, and he said 9, and I showed up at 9, and we showed up at 9.
Yeah, and I didn't get there until like 9:30.
And then Nate walks in, and he's like, why aren't you guys still eating?
Well, it was 9:45. Because we woke up. And Marshall didn't come to the event. He was going to a wedding. And we wake up, and then at like 8:30, Marshall is trying to find a ride to his wedding.
That's excellent planning.
His wedding?
Yeah. Like, so not his wedding. The wedding he was there to go to. And so, of course, he couldn't find anybody to give a ride, so Keith had to give him a ride to Middleton. So Keith was missing breakfast. But then the delay trying to figure that
forced
me to also miss it. Yeah. But it's like maybe you could have called people yesterday or a month ago.
Yeah.
Marshall.
Oh, Manoth John says hi.
Hi, Manoth John.
Hello.
Yay.
You ducked me.
Who was talking?
I was talking. This is the last turn. So Lilith 2 versus Krios 3 is pretty damn good when I get the first shots off on the Krios 3, who can't move any closer to me. I mean, like, On the same turn that I popped my feet, I pushed back both of his vanquishers back past this line. Two striders basically took out an entire unit of knights.
Deathstalkers or regular striders?
Deathstalkers. Yeah, it was... Willith basically took out a whole unit by herself.
Yeah. She'll just do that. Yeah.
Things just die.
It was pretty disheartening for him. And then second turn, I just moved up, both throwed one of the vanquishers away, and then killed Krios. So, but, yeah. Meh, that's pretty much my day.
So thank four God rounds. That's over.
Yeah.
Thank God Dane lost to Keith.
Fucking 50 minutes of war.
Well, and a few minutes of...
stupidity.
Of Thresher angst.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to make a public announcement. Or not announcement, but like a public service thing. A reminder out there, because I know there's going to be shitloads of people proxying these gay things and test games and whatnot. The transfinite emergence projector can't shoot at any two random things it feels like with its two sprays. Autofire has limitations.
That's read just it my reminder. And know it. It's in the rule.
Because I know it sure as hell is easy to forget when you're playing with it or against it that you can't just spray a guy in your right arc and spray a different guy in your left arc. It isn't just two initial ranged attacks.
How is it? How does it work then?
It's like strafe, so you have to target a primary model and then any number of additional models, and those additional ones have to be within 2 inches of the primary.
So the second shot has to be within 2 inches.
Yeah, so you could basically get
the third, fourth, or fifth if you had stuff in your back arc.
You get a 2-inch spread, or
4-inch.
Four-inch spread. 2 inches on each side of the center target.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can really screw yourself if your first target is nothing by it, basically.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you shoot a colossal or a huge base, you can actually get quite a large spread on it because you got the base size added in the 2 inches, but it's still...
Another thing, if you're within 10 inches of a colossal with that thing...
I don't know why you're within 10 inches
of the
colossal.
Do they all base off the initial, or is it based off of that?
It's based off the initial
part. So it's not like multi-fire. It's based off the initial one.
Could you actually target it out of range with a spray?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can target sprays all the time. So you can just target, like...
And then start laying wherever the hell you want with the other ones. Yeah. As long as it's the target.
Target has to be...
You still have to target things within 2 inches of the colossal that's out of range.
But a colossal is a lot...
But it still improves your arc, then.
Well, depending on how far away the colossal is, that actually might not improve your arc very much at all. Because stuff that's 9 inches apart that far away from you is...
True.
Not, you know. And then, of course, you can't cheese it out by... making any of those targets be one of your nodes because it's not allowed to target the nodes.
Yep. Which is very intelligent on their part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice so you don't accidentally hit your nodes, but it's also so you don't just cheese the shit out of it.
Yeah.
But I know, like, in my test game, it was really easy
to try and spray on both sides.
It was really, really tempting.
Thank you for getting the name right.
I know. I was going to say it wrong just to annoy you, and then I didn't. Because I love you, Sam.
So do we want to do Sam Sanctuary next? Do we want to do a lightning round?
Well, you said you had a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah, because people want more Zappity Rumble.
I would have given Travis time to talk, except that he talked for like a fucking half an hour about his boring games. Why do we talk about War Machine?
I don't know.
Well,
because you guys play War Machine.
Okay, do we have the weather appropriate?
I masturbate too, but we don't talk about that all for 30 minutes.
Well,
you would if you could.
Yes, I have strategies and tactics and interesting model releases and stuff that we could discuss.
It's true.
Speaking of that, actually, so
did you know the chick masturbation?
The chick who plays Shay on Game of Thrones used to do hardcore pornography in Germany.
Excuse me for a minute.
Yeah! Like, I found that out. Like, it was on the internet a couple days ago. Like, hey, by the way, like, you know, here it is. Just full
hey,
on.
Hey, Nathan. What's Game of Thrones?
Suddenly, Dave is getting closer to the mic.
Dave!
Go on!
This is relevant to my interest.
So, Nate, what's Game of Thrones?
It's a TV show.
Is it good?
There's an article.
Sam, when did you move back to Wisconsin?
Yay! Jim and Keith.
Thanks, Jim.
There was an article... And I'm saying, what's better, the Game of Thrones show or the book? I'm like, well, I'm talking about a troll article. Someone's like, I'm going to have some fun with people.
Yeah, that's never a question. Like, yeah, no. Anytime you say, the book's better, well, no shit, the book's better. It doesn't matter what movie or TV show or rock opera you're talking about. The book was better.
I don't know. The Running Man was pretty awesome.
Yeah. That book they could never make into a movie.
No, they could make it into a movie. Yeah.
They would never be able to get away with having somebody fly a plane into a skyscraper.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
Yeah, like, post 9/11.
You're not going to get that in a movie.
No.
Not anymore.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, good job.
I didn't spoil too much. I didn't say it was the main character at the very end of the book.
Yeah, the main character flying the plane?
Yeah. I didn't mention that's how flying, it ends. It's him flying a plane. It could have been anybody at any point in time.
Flying that into the bad guy's penthouse.
Right. If we had mentioned that the main character at the end of the book flies the plane into the bad guy's penthouse committing murder-suicide, that would have been a spoiler.
Also,
but I left it vague.
And it's a good thing you did.
Or we didn't
Right. I wouldn't want to ruin that for anybody listening.
Exactly.
We didn't mention that he was also like holding all of his entrails with like one hand and the other hand flipping him off as he was flying his plane in there.
So how do you control the plane?
Hypothetically.
With his dick. That's how manly he is.
Obviously, the plane is crashing, so he's probably not holding on to anything.
Yeah. So... Zappity!
Zappity!
Grumple!
All right, here's our first question. Can you smell what the doctor is cooking?
Yes! Can you smell what the doc is cooking? I don't care that Keith hates
it. It's barbecue.
Yeah. Where's Keith? Is Keith actually in here? Or is it just Jim?
Jim was here.
Did he leave?
I don't know. I didn't see
Keith. But yeah, if Dwayne Johnson was the doctor, I think it would be awesome.
As long as he continues to be a pacifist intellectual.
Yeah.
Just with the pecs and the eyebrow.
So he just works out for no good reason?
Yeah.
And if he's...
And I was talking to somebody, and they're like, I don't think The Rock can do a good British accent. I'm like, I don't want a British accent. I want to
American,
talk like The Rock.
You want American straight up.
Oh, my God. Just, have you ever watched some of the
early... The most electrifying Time Lord.
Have you ever watched some of his old interviews, though?
Yeah.
They're amazing.
They're amazing.
Yeah, so he'd be great. I think
he'd
be awesome.
And he can do the people's elbow onto Davos.
But they'd be a little more physical.
This is quite long for a lightning round.
That's how it works.
I
haven't heard the lightning yet.
Zappity! Wow.
That's really far
Grumble.
Away.
Grumble.
All right. If Pee-Pee was to make a spell or feat called Zappity Grumble, what should it do?
I think it would be electrical damage. It would push you away like Thunderbolt and then Rift.
Oh, that's rough. That's me.
Grumble? That's the sound effects in my head. It zaps you and then groom.
It's really
crazy. No.
I think like five.
Nope.
Ground Pounder?
Bring back
Unnatural disaster. That's exactly what Zappity Grumble should be. Unnatural disaster.
Oh, my God. A four-player game with mosh pits and there are like 50 models on that hill. Yeah. And Andrew's like, I cast a natural disaster and just walks away from the table. Like, that was it. It was just scoop.
You guys are part of this too. It's not just us two. Okay. Yeah, you guys are.
Here's what's the most boring competitive list to play against?
Quick.
Dave's list.
Which one?
Yes.
The Krios.
Krios 2?
Yeah, the Krios 2.
Travis, go.
Morvana 2 is really, really boring to play against.
Either Haley.
Haley.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Haley's.
Either Haley. Yeah.
Haley's.
Yeah. Oh, however, Haley 2 Storm. The second Theme Force is really fun to play.
I believe they said
really
competitive boring. List.
Yeah.
The right. second Theme Force is amazing.
Oh, the second one? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
still,
whatever.
Fuck the Haleys.
Zappity.
Yes.
Zappity. Grumble? Wait, that's
backwards. I say P. Haley. All
right.
Who has the best burn on Jeremy? I don't know.
Does that matter?
So
Jeremy?
The time he accidentally
like
TB'd
burns.
Himself. Yeah. Like, we're trying to do the TB awards. He's like, I hate people who are exactly like me. Oh, okay, then.
Fuck yourself. Congrats.
Yeah. That's perfect.
I don't think anyone's going to have a good answer for this next Grumble. Question. But since Sean Benson asked, if you could marry any Warcaster or Orlok, who would it be?
The Coven.
Scar 2.
I'm going with the Coven. All three of them.
Good.
They are sexy,
hold on,
and there's
hold
three
on.
Of them.
Hold on.
Side movement.
Egregore is definitely going to do something to
they
you.
They ain't seen my big balls. That was a stretch. Sorry.
Egregore is going to do some awful things to you.
No, we'll keep it like a pet. Like, it's a household
pet. It's like
pet.
Black tentacles of...
No, it's you just keep it in the guest bedroom, and then me and the three girly girls just have fun. It's like Big Love with a orb of doom.
Scar 2, she's got a great rack.
She does have a great rack.
Your choice.
Is the Harbinger legal yet?
Yeah.
Yes, so is
Morvana.
Oh, yeah, that put her out of your league.
Yeah.
Over his age.
Like,
limit.
I seriously just did that to myself, and it just went right past. Just nobody said anything. I was doing a callback to the beginning of the episode, and also every episode ever.
I was going to call out Harvey, personally. But.
Yeah.
Zeppity.
Well, the Coven was a good idea, but then he had a good counterpoint.
I'll
say E. Denny.
What?
That's backwards.
No, I said Zappity.
He said Zappity.
All right.
All right.
You're not allowed on the podcast anymore.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I also, someone actually posted, our whole yoga pants thing. People have been posting terrible, terrible pictures. Someone finally posted.
You're an awful person for that.
Someone posted very good pictures of yoga pants. So our Twitter feed is actually not the most disgusting thing in the world. It's actually
are you going to retweet it?
You
should retweet them.
Nathan was talking about the whole masturbation thing earlier, which brought me up to the yoga pants thread that I saw earlier.
The other day, somebody at work was talking about how they had stock in Lululemon, and that's a horrible thing right now because they were like the Lexus of yoga pants. Like, they're not actually better, but they just cost five times as much for no good reason. So they were like this luxury yoga pants line, and it turned out that their yoga pants were just like literally see-through.
The see-through ones,
they're just completely see-through, so they're done. Like, they just got destroyed.
You can't come back from that.
Yeah, they're gone. So their stock just tanked through the floor. Although it seems to me that see-through yoga pants, that's a gift to the human. Oh, well, depends who's wearing them.
Yeah. There's a level
control.
Of... Yes.
If you only sell them in certain sizes...
To certain people.
Like you
have to be yes, no clerk.
Yes.
A lot of responsibility on that person. It's like, no, sorry. No.
Here's
a free pair.
Lululemon's yoga pants and burkas. And when you get in, we'll tell you which one you're allowed to buy.
All right. I have another question once we get some, you know...
Zappity.
Ooh.
Grumble.
Someone stole the lightning.
Yeah.
Everybody's been saying it. Everybody loves saying Zappity.
That's going to be our best selling t-shirt ever.
Zappity Grumble.
So I don't understand.
I'm with Zappity.
I don't understand this question, but Tuffalo's versus Major Tusk Beard, who would win?
That's a troll cap.
Oh,
yeah, but versus your beard.
Versus my beard?
I think the beard wins because it just whips him to the floor.
I don't know. It depends. Yeah, no, I think they're
heavy.
Hurt.
Like, I don't think his beard could hold them.
No, because
like,
it's like
what are they trying to do?
Like, say if you were playing your Troll Bloods and you had, like, you were reaching over your army and accidentally snagged on a Troll Blood.
I would probably calf. It would probably get tossed.
Yeah,
Andy unofficially got fourth in a beard competition.
I did.
They announced the top three, and they didn't announce the ranking for the other 84 people. Andy's assuming he was fourth.
Well, of course, you got your place fourth, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, there's no evidence to the contrary. I'm assuming
exactly.
That's what happened.
Exactly. That's what I said. That's what I thought. Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. I don't think Tuffalo's got higher than four.
No.
Zappity!
Rumble!
All right, last question. What is the most frustrating part of putting together the convergence models?
Who's actually put together a convergence model?
Well, Nathan asked.
How is that a quick lightning round question?
It was hilarious because, like, now that I've done it, I could assemble these things in my sleep. Like, they're not hard ones, but they're this puzzle. Like, no lie, I'm assembling them, and I found a little bit, like, this thing the size of if hamsters could knit, this is like a thimble that a hamster could wear. And, like, I'm just like, what the fuck is this? So I'm just rotating all of these vectors and casters, like, and it took me a half an hour of staring at this bit and staring at every model to figure out where it went. And that happened. No, they were important bits. I wish they were flashing. But one of them I got thrown because it was Cyntherian's arms. Like, the giant doohickers don't glue directly to his shoulders. He's got little tiny pegs that go into his armholes and then into the giant doohicker.
Oh, so it was one of those.
You can't see in the art or in the picture on the box because the angle isn't right. So that took me over to find, especially since there was an extra one in the box. So there were three of them.
Oh, that's not good.
So I was trying. I'm like, well, there's three of them. What the fuck? And they just had an extra one. And then, like, the light vector is the same thing in it. They have two little spindly arms that plug into a nub on the side of their torso, and that nub's a separate bit. So I'm holding this random nub. I'm like, what the fuck did this nub go? The assembly time, there was at least an hour of me staring at bits, just staring at them dumbfounded.
Here,
worse than the Archangel,
I should
or
get
better?
From the table and
but
go
you can
get
figure
something?
Those out at least. Like, there's lots of things, but you can figure them out.
Yeah,
it was
Archangels.
The sheer...
Archangel's just hard to put together.
I just didn't know. Like, oh my god, it was insane. And like, there were like the other ones is like, oh, these go on the underside of Cyntherian's arm doohickers, and just no.
Would 360 view on the Privateer Press website help?
Possibly.
Would you have noticed it faster if you had done that?
Maybe. Like, it's not the arm. I don't think Cyntherian's arms. Like, pro tip, anybody assembling Cyntherian, those two tiny little pegs are his biceps.
do they include, like, a chart where everything is?
No.
I was going
to
say,
and those light vectors have, like, 12 bits to them.
Good.
Does Prime have an assembly sheet? Right.
Prime Axiom.
Now assemble Prime Axiom.
Yeah. Like,
with no assembly sheet, right?
No assembly sheet. Just look at it and try to assemble it.
This bit has a 3 on it. I don't know what that means, but it has a 3 on it.
Every model will look different. You'll never get two.
And this
same
bit looks identical and doesn't have a number on it. Yeah. No, it's like, they're not hard to assemble once you can figure them out. And so if you've listened to this podcast and you now know about the biceps and the nub, now you're set.
Yeah, Prime Axiom without the instructions, I think it's probably impossible to assemble.
I'm going to throw out one other thing that's worse than I forgot about this part. The light vectors have three legs, and they have three knee pads to go on those legs. One of the three legs has a larger tab than the other two legs, and the three knee pads, despite looking identical, one of the knee pads has a larger slot.
Yes.
They're identical knee pads, but one of the knees has a bigger tab.
So were you trying to put...
I sure did not realize that, and I glued the giant slot onto a tiny tab, and then I get to the giant tab on a tiny slot, and I'm like, motherfuck! So, Well, especially since I had two light vectors, so I just threw all six of the knees into a pile.
That's your own fault.
Well, they were identical.
That's your fault.
I made sure they were six identical knees. The legs were slightly different, so I'm like, all right, each one's got one of the off one and two of the other ones, but I didn't notice the tab was a different size.
So they're identical, but different.
Maybe if you're more observant.
That little tab is a 32nd of an inch larger. It's not like double size or anything.
Did you see the picture of that of somebody who assembled one of those light vectors wrong that put the saw blade in place of one of the legs? So it looks like has a giant saw, you know.
Appendage. It's like a unicycle.
No. It was coming out like straight. Like,
he's happy to see you.
Yeah.
He just saw you.
Oh, yo.
Bazinga.
Yeah.
So watch out for those knee pads.
So is that the end of our Zappity Grumble?
He said that was the last one.
We should have. You want to do your question thing?
We're too long. We're about an hour in. If we're gonna do like Travis's little corner thing,
mine's really easy.
Let's look at Travis's little corner. We'll do Travis's corner, and then we'll see, and then maybe just do a recommendation.
Recommendations.
We went
fine.
Long last week, so a little short this week wouldn't be the worst either.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
Your topic will require some good time.
No, yeah. We can't go that short because I don't want the majority of this episode to be about War Machine. That's just not allowed.
but we like War Machine.
Travis is here.
I think you cut this peg off. I don't think that's supposed to be there.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff that you cut off.
Sam Sanctuary is happening.
Sanctuary.
You just. Sam's soliloquy.
Ooh.
Sam's vagina.
Sandy vagina?
What's that? Travis's Torner. I'm just making Katie's Corner alliterate with a different name.
Right. Yeah, with 20%
more. Are you
going to
say anything, Travis? Christ
the
almighty.
The thing that I found out today that was very important was Veil 2's feat doesn't actually specify you have to cast all the spells immediately.
Yeah,
I was also the impression that it was all you go, I'm just going down my spell list and cast all the spells. No, it's during the activation. So you can go... I'm going to cast Refuge on Veil, and then cast a bunch of Obliterates, hit with the Obliterates, Refuge away, then cast Stealth later, because Refuge doesn't end your activation.
It sure doesn't, which is why Aurora's got that 23-inch range,
which is pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's crazy that you can cast Flashing Blades after Refuging.
And Refuging Angeli love to repulse.
Why are we giving away tech? What the hell is this?
So, yeah, I didn't realize that today when I read her card. I'm like, oh, I get to do things in a weird order. This is awesome.
That's always exciting, though.
It was. It unlocked a whole new playstyle with Veil.
And then you lost your first game, so good job.
Yep. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
It did help me, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff people assume you have to do immediately or that you don't necessarily
have. There's things like
that
where you're like, you pop your feet and you have to finish things.
Well, because, like, speaking of, like, you know, the Prime Axioms here in front of us, when he drags and then hits something with the free melee, you still have your other range shots.
And
you know what I mean?
You better not buy new attacks because you will lose that range shot.
Right. Until you buy, like, the free melee doesn't end your ranged. And same with, like, the galleon, like I know people always say you should shoot all your AoEs first before dragging because then you're into melee mode. You don't have to.
It's just it makes it easier to remember.
Yeah. Sure.
Same thing happens with Lich Lord Asphyxius.
But you know,
often
you can
is people would feet and then start activating their feet models.
If you drag something in with the galleon, now you got Min Drift with all those AoEs onto it.
Yeah, you do. And Min Drift is a really good drift.
It is.
Yep.
That's really all I had. I just realized that today.
Yeah, that was not much of a corner.
That wasn't
at all.
That's no, like
that was just like here's a bit of a little tech. Good job.
Hey, it's Travis's tech.
Yep.
Travis.
Doot doot. It's Travis. He's got tech. Listen to his plans and ideas.
Grumble.
I made a theme song for you. I
appreciate
that.
No, I did enjoy it.
You should set that as a ringtone.
It's well worth it.
If Andy will snip it out of the podcast.
No.
There you go. So just make the whole podcast your ringtone, and like as it ring, be like, hold on, I can't answer this. My actual ringtone is coming up in about an hour.
You guys, people hang on. God damn it, they hung up, motherfuckers. Yeah, fucking
play through it.
Yeah, Prime Axiom is a nice Lego.
Yeah, it's got a lot of bits. And I'm not sure what on this is supposed to be sawed off.
Yeah.
Like this bit's symmetrical, but then half of it has a giant peg.
Yeah.
That's his eyeball.
I guess that's garbage, but
I think I'm going to wait till the insider comes out before I assemble him.
I can just start breaking parts off.
There'll have to be an insider for him, because, oh my god, he's like 50 billion pieces.
I'm also hoping the Gen Con release of him might have the sheet in it.
No, I got the sheet. I'm just...
Oh.
Okay. I brought him out without the sheet for you guys to see.
The sheet's got to be helpful.
Even with the sheet, it's still god-awful.
But it's like the Stormwall and all those, when they put that insider out, that helped a ton assembling that thing.
Or you could assemble it without that, glue the legs on wrong, and then break them off later.
But at least with the Stormwall and most of the other jacks, you have a basic idea of what a jack's supposed to look like. That thing is just weird.
Where's the dirt?
Are you gonna make it levitate?
Even the Vanguard the first time, like, what the fuck is going on
here?
Yeah,
I guess.
Are you gonna make that thing levitate?
I probably could.
Yeah. I don't see the dirt pile in the box here. Is that?
I think.
What?
The dirt pile.
The base underneath the legs has a dirt that it sits on.
Oh, they might.
That's
not
why I'm asking if it's levitating.
They might not even.
Nope. There it is. There it is. Dirt pile. There you go.
Oh, that's easy to. That you don't have to put it on.
I hope
at
that's
all.
Bit sortable. You could use that as like a.
Yeah, none of the resin parts are bit sortable.
God damn you!
None of plastic and resin. I doubt they're ever going to do it either.
Yep.
They might. It's all built in house there, so I mean that's all them.
I think the issue is they have to get caught up.
Well,
on
I'm just
those
gonna.
First.
I can send them emails claiming I bought 20 Prime Axioms.
You'd
and
really
they were
be
all
that
missing
much of an
resin
asshole.
Models. I'm going to sign the email, Sam, from Milwaukee.
They'll be actually confused who that
it's
is.
It's Waukesha.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wouldn't be confused at all.
It's a press ganger in Milwaukee who does things.
So I think we're probably about a minute 10 in. We should probably go through and do wonderful recommendations.
Right. Recommendations.
That's probably going to be
then
a
random
good thing. I mean, I have a good subject, but we'll save that for next week when we get Jeremy back on, because he'll talk endlessly for it, and
he'll enjoy
we'll make
that.
Fun of him for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know what? That'll probably answer a lot of questions about Jeremy.
Yeah, actually it will.
So next week, learn about Jeremy's past,
his childhood, and his formative developmental years.
Well, we could save ours. They could do theirs.
All right.
We could do that. Is that sound okay?
Yeah, but just, yeah.
So okay. My subject that I brought up, it's something that I brought up with the podcast guys.
Limit to one.
Limit
it to one, and we'll make it quick.
One to two movies.
Okay.
One to three movies that define your childhood.
Or stare at us blankly.
Or
that works too.
Hold on. I got this. It's really easy. Jurassic Park is the first movie I can remember that was like a really...
Oh, don't make me feel old. God damn it.
I saw that after I graduated high school.
I was still a kid when I watched Jurassic Park.
Oh. All right, this is no. I think we should.
Did I just cancel
this subject?
That's
just
ruining it.
So yeah, Jurassic Park was.
Get off my lawn.
Get off our podcast.
And then,
while he's thinking, Danny, Dave, you got anything?
Do you have any movies that like that you just?
Yeah, for me, it would be Star Wars. Okay. I didn't see it in theater or anything, but
which one?
All three of them, because I watched.
There's no movie named Star Wars.
The
trilogy.
4, 5, and 6.
Oh, okay. Because there's New Hope.
Yeah.
And there's Empire Strikes Back.
Why do you have
the
asshole?
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, you're right. You're just being a dick right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those.
Big floppy purple dildo.
You're shitting on all his childhood
I'm
dreams.
I'm not shitting on nothing.
Yep, you're just shitting. Shitting away.
You forgot Phantom Menace.
Instead of Zappity, it's just...
Yeah. Thresher. I needed clarification.
It's more for books for me rather than movies.
So those movies, you're like, we saw those. Like, I need to be a Jedi when I grow up.
Exactly.
Because it's like, sorry, I'm not going to jump in front of you, Dave. It's Ender's Game, Jurassic Park, and Lost World. Those are
Ender's Game is going to be a movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good.
It has Harrison Ford.
I mean, it's
as Ender.
No, it's his Eternal Grass.
He's not
Ender. I'm sure it'll
Harrison
be okay.
Ford playing a 10-year-old.
I'm sure the movie's going to be a lot better than when I read the book, because they didn't have the technology to do justice to the movie. And now they actually have the CGI to do justice to the zero-G and all the stuff that's going on with that movie. So I'm sure it'll be better.
Harrison Ford was in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
The trailer heavily implies that the kids know what's happening.
Which is just
which
ruins
is
the
insane.
Entire story. Yeah,
if that's
like,
true. I don't want to spoil it beyond, but
yeah,
there's
like,
just an element that the kids are aware of what's happening versus not aware, which
correct.
Would be bizarre to the story.
Well, it's kind of... I've never read the book, so I don't know. But the title of the book implies that the kids think it's a game. So that I'm just saying, yes. That's right there in the title. So when I'm watching the trailer and the kids are talking about like saving the world and stuff, I'm like,
No, they know that the aliens are a threat.
Yeah.
They just don't realize, they think they're in training.
Right, right, right.
So it's just weird. It's just weird.
Thanks. It's kind of like, it's kind of like in that wonderful Robin Williams film Toys, where, no, that movie was awful. Never mind.
But yeah, it's like those books were the first foundation before rooting into a ton of stuff, because I read Crichton for a long time after Lost World and Jurassic
Park. A lot of people read, I mean, you know, Ender's Game is a pretty classic thing you get read, like sixth grade issues where you just they give you Ender's Game.
The only thing I know about Ender's Game is from that 8-page thread on the Muse and Minis forums that would talk about how much they hate Battle Foam, where somebody was comparing buying Battle Foam, even though Romeo's a dickhole,
to
reading Ender's Game, even though Orson Scott Card is apparently awful for some reason. I don't know. I don't even know how he's awful. I don't know if he's a neo-Nazi or what.
It's his political beliefs.
Okay. I don't even know what they are, but apparently, like, according to that thread, he's, like, awful. Like, he just murders puppies for fun.
I avoid one director's movies because he rapes children.
Yeah, and I do, too. And I was happy because somebody mentioned that, and it pissed me off so much.
What?
Roman Polanski, the guy who rapes.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one movie before I realized that, and I'm like, that was a good movie, but I'm not going to watch any more of his stuff.
And what annoyed me, like, really bad is, like, when we were trying to extradite him, because he accidentally left France, and we're like, oh, we got him now, and then he ended up going back to France anyway. But we were trying to extradite him, like, all the celebrities rallying around him. And my favorite is, like, the people who didn't understand what actually happened, and they thought that he just, like, had sex with a 16-year-old girl or something, and it was one of those things where it was like,
that's
oh, whatever.
Fine. We're not against that at all.
I mean, you can argue about statutory rape and, like, laws are different, and because the big one was Whoopi Goldberg was like, oh, well, you know, it's different in Europe, and what he did, I mean, it's whatever. Except, no, he didn't just sleep with a 16-year-old girl. He drugged and sodomized a 13-year-old girl at a party.
Yeah.
Like, he drugged the shit out of her, butt-fucked her, and then left her there. Like, that's not European different morals. That's a rapist and a pedophile. And his movies may be amazing. Chinatown's an amazing movie. Fuck Roman Polanski. And fuck Woody Goldberg for defending him. Woody Goldberg.
Do you want to know why people hate Orson Scott Card?
Sure.
He's a homophobe.
Oh, okay. All right, I can see that.
Still you crappy. See homophobes?
They're not blind to you. They're not invisible.
What? No, I...
What?
I can't see homophobes?
I don't know.
Homophobes, like, those are two words that sound the same.
Oh, there you go. Sorry.
It's a homophone. You see, it was a...
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Ironically, I made a homophone joke about homophones. Someone's like, I get it.
Anyway. Yeah.
So David movies?
Or books or whatever.
Yeah, it's something that defines your childhood.
Defines my childhood.
Is it the Convergence of the Cirrus book? Is that what
greatly
it
inspired? Like any movie you saw, like when you were young, like it's you.
Probably Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's a good one. That is. A good
I
one.
Walked.
That's really
3 miles to see the first one at the nearest theater because I was a latchkey kid and my parents weren't going to get home, so I walked to see that fucking movie and it was amazing.
How old are you guys?
And
when Teenage
Raphael
Mutant
was
came
the
out?
Leader of the group in
I
the
was
movie.
Still young enough,
and that was awesome to me because he was my favorite turtle.
I don't even know when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out, actually, as a release.
I think it's... I want to say it's 88.
I was living in Skokie.
88,
I was
89.
Four.
It was late. Oh,
thank you.
I brought up a movie to, like, Katie. I wasn't born yet when that movie came out. I mean, I said I saw a movie in the theater.
I was born in 88. Well, holy see how this goes.
Yeah, I saw a movie in the theater in 84. I was born. Don't worry, they're going to die before us. They're not
like,
leaving this building.
Every once in a while, I like to remind myself what people born in the 90s can do. And the fact that they can now drink, like, blew my mind. Like,
or buy smokes, yeah.
People born in the 90s can drink.
My younger cousins are like, I'm just like, you're adults now? That didn't happen.
Two years from now, people born this century will be driving cars? The fuck? Like, no.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to.
1990.
1990, yeah.
Yep.
All right, six instead of four, but whatever.
I was in high
math
school.
Hard.
Yeah, I was in seventh grade, I think.
So that you was depressing.
I was two.
Yeah, that was depressing.
Well, most of our listeners are younger. I mean, there are plenty of old, but
you guys are the old
part. The first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was good.
Yeah.
The sequel, they didn't let them use weapons, so they just like hit people with yo-yos and shit, and it wasn't as cool. But the first one is actually like pretty rough.
Second one had Taco and Razar, though.
It did, which were worth babies!
Yes. They're easily
it's
the
quiet, best. A little nice. Too quiet. It's Raph, a little too Raph. Oh. I I love the second one too. It was just goofier.
Yeah.
The third one didn't exist. Shut up.
No, that's
no. Shut that's up.
Third.
Is that the second one?
No, the second one was the one with
Super Shredder.
Yeah, Super Shredder.
Yes. Kevin. Oh, yeah, Kevin Nash was Super Shredder. If you guys didn't know that,
I didn't know that. Nice trivia for you.
Yeah, Kevin Nash.
Is he a country singer?
No, Kevin Nash, the wrestler. He was wrestling as Diesel.
It does sound like a country wrestler singer.
Did you know that Nathan Fillion was in Halo ODST?
He did a voiceover.
He did a voiceover.
Halo ODST, it's pretty cool. Good for him.
Every Halo movie has some sci-fi actors that have a little scene. They had him and Jane have a scene in a Halo game, and they... Then every other game have had some sci-fi actor from the show have a little.
Nathan Fillion was in a sexy pool party short that I saw on YouTube. It's hilarious. I'll link it in the thread. It was funny. He turns into two ugly guys and a dog.
Are you excited for Pacific Rim having the voice from
GLaDOS?
Yes.
All I want is that movie. If that movie is good, I may never leave the theater.
I just love kaiju. I love kaiju so much. I don't care. I'll watch Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monster, Solid Attack on loop for the rest of my life.
That'd be the one movie. If I had to pick one movie,
This kid is actually coming out with a miniature game for it, and the models actually don't look half bad.
I already own a miniature game for Pacific Rim. It's called Monster Apocalypse.
I agree.
That's true.
And it's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
It is a really good game. It's just too bad.
It's not a poor situation.
But yeah.
Hopefully it's just a coma.
Hey, look, I keep depressing you over and over and over again.
I'm going to talk about something happy. I'm skipping to recommendations.
Recommendations.
David doesn't get a movie because he took too long.
He said one.
He said Teenage Mutant Turtles.
Oh, that's him? I thought that was Andy.
No. We're saving ours for next week.
Oh. Yeah. I was going to yell at Andy for using his. Sorry.
Wow.
Jesus.
We've been talking for like an hour and 20 minutes. I need a nap. I was up till 4:30 annoying Keith. It takes hard work. So I'm going to recommend something. And I was torn. I couldn't decide. You think of great movies, again, from our childhood or whatever, and you think about comedic actors that don't do comedies anymore. And I miss a couple of the great ones. And I couldn't decide if I wanted to recommend...
Can you just get to
your point? The last... Fuck you. I couldn't decide if I wanted to recommend the last great, legitimate... comedy movie that Steve Martin did, or the last legitimate great comedy movie that Eddie Murphy did. But luckily it's the same movie. Yeah. Luckily, Bowfinger is a fucking masterpiece. And it got overlooked, it failed at the box office, and if you haven't seen Bowfinger, you need to go see Bowfinger. It's hilarious.
I don't know if I've seen
it. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
It's Steve Martin is trying to film a movie starring the biggest star in Hollywood, which is Eddie Murphy's character.
Oh, I've seen
but
that.
He can't get Eddie Murphy's permission, so he just like films it in secret. And he'll just have extras like run up to Eddie Murphy and talk about alien invasions and stuff. And Eddie Murphy doesn't know it's a movie, so he's just freaked the hell out. And it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is a pretty good movie.
Oh, and it spoofs Scientology, and it's so good.
Because by the end of the movie, Eddie Murphy's pretty completely freaked out by the end. He's like completely...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like going insane. Like at the end, he's like, oh, I'm fighting aliens. Like he thinks it's real, like because he's just gone off the deep end because he's Tom Cruise, basically. He's a black Tom Cruise, and they're fucking with him. It's so good.
So does he do crazy aerobatic... stunts all the time?
No, but it's the Scientology thing. Yeah, he's got great stuff. Like he's going clothes shopping and he's just having his cronies like trying the clothes for him, and he's like, do the thing, and the guy just holds up like an Eddie Murphy mask so he looks like Eddie Murphy wearing the clothes. Like instead of just using a mirror, that's how he tries on
clothes.
When
you brought up a comedy movie from a long time ago, I thought you were going to say Tom Hanks or something. Like, you know.
Yeah, Tom Hanks needs to do comedy as well, and that's my recommendation, is that Tom Hanks should do comedy.
I watched Cloud Atlas yesterday and he wasn't funny in it, but he was good.
And Michael Keaton should do comedy again as well. Both of those two need to make comedies.
I'm telling you, together.
There needs a Burbs 2.
The Burbs.
Oh,
the
here
Burbs
you go.
2 needs
here you
to be,
go.
Yeah.
Burbs 2, but happens to be that in those suburbs where Tom Hanks moves to, there's a pizza joint run by three identical twin brothers.
That
named 2, 3, and 4.
Yes. Oh. Why isn't Multiplicity made again? Why isn't there a sequel to that movie?
Why didn't 4 get a spin-off television show?
God.
If you look at the young kids shaking their heads.
Have you
they're
seen
like, Multiplicity? I don't know this.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So, Michael. She touched my peppy, Steve.
I like pizza, Steve.
I'm going to eat a dolphin.
Seriously, go rent Multiplicity. It's great.
So good.
Yeah, never mind.
What? What are you saying? From Get closer to the mic.
No, I'm trying to figure out where you'd even rent it from, because I'm sure it's not on Redbox.
Netflix. Or a Family Video. Those places still exist. Yeah. Or you know what, Travis? Come to my party tomorrow, and I'll loan it to you.
I rent most of my videos from Pornhub.
I have to do work tomorrow.
Or is it, what's it, SkinFlix?
You kids these days just torrent it. Okay. Go to the Pirates Bay or whatever. I don't know how you kids these days and your computers work.
Sounds good. I can do that.
We tried to figure out Twitter in this podcast and it was broke.
You know, I should have given you a cane for your birthday rather than a model.
That'd be great. Can you get one of those ones that has like the bicycle horn and the mirror on the bottom so I can be a dirty old man to girls in skirts?
Aren't you already a dirty old man?
You gotta get the Gaval.
Yeah.
No, you just gotta get the one.
Why do you guys say Gaval? Like, Travis told an anecdote at the beginning of the tournament.
Do you want me to just tell you the whole thing?
Because Travis gets annoyed when we mispronounce names in War Machine. So we need to mispronounce the tool that we gave him.
So they gave me a 3-pound sledgehammer for passing the judge test.
And that's your Gaval.
They gave me a Gaval.
We smashed the model with it.
Speaking of sledgehammer, that show was great too. You guys missed that.
What the hell is sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer? Think of, okay, you know Dirty Harry.
No.
What?
I don't watch movies.
My day with the Magnum and the Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. You don't know Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry.
Sure, I get that. I don't know anything about it.
Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry.
Okay, but I didn't see any part of that.
He doesn't shower. He's dirty.
Okay. So it's like most gamers.
It's like Dirty Harry and his brother Daryl and his other brother Daryl.
Has when Harry met Sally.
Travis can depress me passively. Like that's how awful he is. Bring back Jeremy. This is
wow. Yeah, yeah. I think I like Jeremy better.
Andy's no longer my favorite wrestler in Madison. Thresher.
So that was my recommendation. Andy recommended Tom.
I don't know old movies.
How do you not know who Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry is?
Because I don't really watch Clint Eastwood movies.
It's so good.
Of course, I mentioned that.
I'm glad I'm passively annoying all of you in like one fell swoop.
I don't like the good, bad, the ugly. Nathan almost lost it on me.
Almost nothing. You will die. Like, what I movie? Stopped myself good, from just bad, punching you
What's
in
that?
Public.
It's a really bad lesson. It's a really boring, long, really terrible music. It just
do you like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? I believe that's a movie, right?
It's complete silence. I think Nathan almost passed out from rage. In the silence, you can hear Nathan screaming.
My heart exploded from rage, and so I'm just trying not to move too much so the blood won't seep out of my brain.
Lock, Stock?
No, I'm still dead from Brian talking about hating the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is Guy Ritchie's second worst movie, but that makes it an A-, because everything else he's done been amazing except for that shitty movie made for his poor wife.
I think Revolver is kind of overrated a lot, too.
Revolver is overrated. You're right. Lock, Stock is better than Revolver. But I feel no need to ever – this is kind of tying into like the T.I. thing. I see no need to ever watch Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels again when I own Snatch.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It's just strictly better, almost the same movie. Like, it's the same stylistic film, and Snatch is 1,000 times better. Because Snatch is one of the best movies ever.
I really like Rock and Rolla for some odd reason. I don't know.
It's all right. It's mid-tier Guy Ritchie.
Still better than Revolver.
Yes.
I like the half of this table is just talking about movies when the other three over here are like,
I haven't seen any of the movies that you watch. You just spoke of. I haven't Snatch. Seen any of them. I haven't seen
it. It's hilarious.
Nothing of Snatch. The movie or really.
You know, just one of these days we should just
But you saw,
kidnap
you mentioned
Travis.
Lock, Stock, so you've seen Lock,
I know,
Stock?
I know the movie, I just haven't seen it.
So you were just randomly mentioning titles you've heard?
To bother you, yes.
God damn it.
How many Michael Bay movies have these guys seen, I bet? That's going to be the death.
Actually, I really hate the Michael Bay movies because Star Trek annoyed the fuck out of me that every time you looked, it was lens flare. And I told my wife about it. Do it! Unleash the anger!
I can't! I don't know if he's serious! His ignorance is so real, I can't tell!
Michael Bay is doing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie,
or mutant explosions from Transformers. Or turtles.
Yeah. But the main character is going to be Casey Jones, so it's okay.
I just bothered you.
It's a Casey Jones movie with non-mutated middle-aged aliens in it. Yeah. I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, it's Michael Bay fucking horrible.
He since has denied that. He's like, oh, no, I think people misunderstood, which is Michael Bay talk for, that was what I was doing, but everybody hated it, so we're changing it.
You're welcome, mate.
Are you?
No, I'm joking.
Are you?
It takes a special kind of horrible director to have robots in blackface. Like, seriously.
I actually don't enjoy Transformers.
You know why? Because it's shit.
I didn't mind the first one.
The first one's crap. The other ones are shit.
I enjoy the first one. The rest are bad.
The rest are bad. Two is just horrendous, and three is just not good.
The first one. I don't give a shit about Shia LaBeouf. He's not a Transformer.
That is true.
Does he transform? No. Get him the fuck off screen.
Hey, you watch the original series. Spike Witwicky was on almost every single one of those episodes.
And you know who I didn't give two shits about was Spike Witwicky.
I want a t-shirt.
Can you turn into a vehicle? No, get off my show.
That's true.
They could almost have sex with a vehicle.
What the fuck?
No, in the second one.
I didn't see that one. Oh, with the Alice? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the Decepticons have people that can pass as human beings. Don't infiltrate the government and rule the world. No, try to find some special eyeglasses or some bullshit.
When she transformed into a robot, I swear to God, I think I did pass out for a minute there. So mad when I was watching. Like, why is this happening?
Why the fuck is that a... Why was... Like, when your movie's 3 hours long and you have random half-hour plots that suck balls, maybe just don't have them in the movie. And it'll be
tolerable.
You know,
this podcast can be 3 hours long.
The thing with Transformers 2, which is funny, I watch it with Jim, and he wouldn't leave, and I wouldn't leave. And I enjoy, like, the 5 minutes of robots here and there, but the movie was bad, but I still stayed.
Shia LaBeouf dies and goes to robot heaven.
And then gets brought back.
Oh, my God. The step and fetch it racist robots. We don't read no good. Oh, my God. How are there not riots? People were mad about Jar Jar Binks, you know. God damn it.
For skids and mud flaps?
Yeah, skids and mud flaps. I like to call them step and fetch it. It's a reference that some of you will get, and you're welcome for that.
Well,
I don't.
Oh, my God. Step and Fetch It was a minstrel show character. It was a white dude in blackface. His name was Step and Fetch It. And so that's these two robots named Step and Fetch It. We don't read no good, and they're fighting, and the guy... Oh. Like, I was so offended. And why is John Turturro alone on top of a pyramid doing exposition? Like, he's talking to himself and saying, like, if we don't stop them, they're going to gain control over the sun. It's like, I fucking know that. I've been watching the movie. Shut up. Why are you talking?
If you
don't think your audience is smart enough to remember that they're going to do this shit with evil and whatnot, then you did a bad job.
Welcome to Nathan's Rant Corner.
Yeah, recommendations.
Why the fuck did you mention Michael Bay? I'm going to go kill someone.
Well, you fear he was talking about Michael Bay Star Trek.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael Bay Star Trek.
Almost as good as, what's his name, Batman back in the day.
Why are there nipples on the
Joel Schumacher's Batman?
Why does the Batmobile have neon lights?
It was neon. It was colorful.
Bat credit card.
What was the pedophile director?
Roman Polanski.
Yeah, if he made Batman, that'd be awesome.
It would be a better movie.
Yeah, it'd probably be better than Joel Schumacher's.
Like, I'll grant Polanski that. His movies are really good. His hobbies leave something to be desired.
Yeah. You call that a hobby?
Wow.
Who's Polanski raping this weekend? It's like, Where's Waldo, except it's in reverse. Raping children. I don't know.
All right.
Recommendations.
Did you guys have any recommendations?
Robo Rally. It's a board game.
Oh. Yes.
It is so fun. It is one of my favorite, if not my favorite board game. Dave's brother loves to play it. I love to play it.
I always play as Twonky. And I'm probably, in no joke, this is a huge nerdy thing, but I'm probably going to get a Twonky tattoo.
Nice.
Twonky is my favorite bit in any game ever.
It's a fun game. So you play as a programmer for robots.
You are the robots.
Yeah,
you are the robots. You program in 5 different moves that all occur one at a time. The issue is everyone else is programmed in 5 different moves. You're on this factory floor that has conveyor belts and lasers and all this other stuff, and you're trying to go in a race around this factory floor. Well, the issue is the other robots can push you around and completely mess up your activation.
You program the moves, and then you execute them simultaneously. Well, which, I mean, you've listened to the podcast. It's basically, the mechanic of that is very, very similar. It's non-cooperative space alert. It's the same, put all your moves down, and then execute them all at the same time. So if anybody's played one game, you should play the other because the mechanics are very, very similar.
In Robo Rally, if you take damage, you can get locked into your last few moves, you're always turning left at the end. You're like, oh, I got to figure that one out.
You'll draw your hand, and it's like all you need to do is turn right and go a space. But you draw no right-hand turn, so you have to be like, turn left, U-turn, turn left, back up, turn left again. Like, that's how you move one space to the right, and it's like, that's what you got to do.
And then someone pushes you, one hacks, and you just fall off the...
Yes.
Me and Ethan
have
said...
The horror when you get pushed before your first move, and then you're like, wait, no!
We definitely like the game a lot more when you only use like one board. Like if you're gonna play with more than one board, you really have to like.
It's really tempting. Well, it's like because we talked about Arkham Horror, and it's really tempting to play with all the expansions in Arkham Horror, and it's a horrible idea.
No, that's horrible.
When you break out Robo Rally, it's like, oh, we'll put four boards together and play with 10 flags.
One board and like two flags,
maybe three.
Yeah,
you know, like never more than one board.
Yeah.
Like it's because you get diminishing returns. It becomes an ordeal and it's no longer fun.
Well, because the robots aren't intersecting each other anymore.
Or it just takes 3 fucking hours and it's not worth it.
One guy gets lucky enough it gets far ahead, then there's no more interaction.
Yeah.
Yet,
it needs to be cramped. You get one of those busy boards, like the spiral one down to the pit of hell and those ones. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
Yeah.
Did we skip Travis? He said Michael Bay Transformers.
He said Michael Bay Star Trek. So I'm done with him.
I don't.
We skipped you, Brian.
Yeah.
We're kind of.
Well, okay. I think David.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. You just read the Convergence of Cirrus book.
I recommend Convergence of Cirrus.
Yeah.
No, don't. They're mine.
Thanks, Dave. That was a very bizarre conversation you had with yourself and Nathan's voice.
Zappity?
Grumble.
Okay. Andy wanted me to say Zappity, so I did.
Well, I'll do my recommendation and give him time. I'm going to recommend a game for the PS3, Last of Us.
Surprise!
I know. I've been playing it a lot. I almost recommended it last week, but then I didn't.
Uh-oh.
Because I haven't played
Travis
it yet.
Travis is getting a phone call.
Xbox One.
Yeah.
If you want a terrible game.
Yeah.
But,
Well, he made another rant.
Well, no, you don't have to rent Xbox One anymore. You can just like watch all the videos. I love how here's what we can do. PlayStation's like, okay, thank you for
that. Yeah.
Like the Xbox One's adorable. Like,
you can watch TV. Okay, I have TV for that. Can I play games, please?
And we'll watch you while you watch TV. Yeah. Bonus feature, we're going to track everything you do.
Have you ever wanted us to track you? No. Too bad.
So Last of Us is a really sweet game. Everyone who's seen commercials for it should know what it is. Anyone listening to this podcast, it's just a very fun, action-oriented, post-apocalyptic game. You're traveling across the country trying to escort someone to safety.
It's you, a little girl, and another guy, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If anyone's seen... wasn't even a movie... I gave this to this morning. I always forget. It had Alec Baldwin.
The Edge.
The Edge. And Alec Baldwin and Hannibal Lecter. Oh, I can't think of his name. Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, fighting
and
a bear.
The whole trailer is those two fighting a bear.
Yeah.
When you watch the movie, it's those two guys and one random dude fighting, you know. Yeah. I wonder who the bear gets first. Because he wasn't built in the show. So in the game, it's you, the girl, and some random person. You're like, oh, poor random person's not going to make it very far, are they? And sure enough, poor random person doesn't make it. It's so obviously, you know.
It would have been cool, though, if they, like, just totally bait and switched and, like, that guy gets separated briefly, like, in the first 10 minutes of the game and all the trailer stuff's from those 10 minutes and then the girl just bites it and the random guy, it's the hero for the rest of the game.
So,
made by the same folks who did all the Uncharted.
They did Uncharted.
Too.
So the game
Naughty
is
Dog.
Very. It's a linear game. It's extraordinarily. It's Last of Us.
Yeah.
It's called. It's very character driven, story driven, which is all their games, all about the dog. But it's still tons of action. You're it's a very stealth driven game because you want to sneak around. I died so many times in the game. If you die to a creature, it says like, why don't you try this? You'll use this weapon. Try this. I've died like 100 times to the same creature, and I've got like 100 different messages. Like, try this, try this. Why do you suck so much? Try this. Stop dying. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, it's like amazing.
Maybe you should be better.
I should be, but
was
man,
that one of their advices?
Yeah,
be better.
It's like, seriously, dude, you've died like 25 times in the last 5 minutes. I'm like, I know my face has been ripped off 25. So, yeah. That's my recommendation.
Something that just came out with the, because I do everything private to press, and that's basically it for my life. Iron Kingdom's token set. If you're playing in the role-playing game, the token set's actually pretty badass if you're playing it.
You've seen those tokens, right?
Yeah.
Bullet tokens.
And it's a tiny little tin.
Those little bullet tokens?
Are awesome.
Do you know what I call them?
What?
I call them lost.
Yeah.
Because they're
gone.
They're really tiny, and they're probably going to be gone.
the coolness of the token set is that if you do buy the Q Workshop dice for it, we tested it out with the Signar set, you'll actually fit all 6 dice in there. And the tokens, with no problem inside that little tin.
You just need to make sure that you can take apart
some of the corrosion fire and stand-up tokens.
Their accessory stuff is so good that they're DM-ing with the dry erase stuff.
That's awesome.
No, I mean, that was such a brilliant idea that no one else had even done.
Yeah.
So all the stuff that they're doing for the Iron Kingdom stuff is now is pretty amazing. So
I don't know if I got to tell you this, but these guys know. I got to page through the entire new Iron Kingdom playbook. The King's
God and War? Or God and Nation?
Yeah.
Is it pretty cool?
Looks amazing.
Hey, there is a Keith here. Keith and him are pointing at each other. They're gonna
go have fun.
They're gonna spaghetti.
We're almost. We're literally done. Bye. We're like 2 minutes done.
We're done in 2 minutes. We have to come along.
Not even 2 minutes. We're
5 minutes. Never leave. All right, that's fine.
We can just call it now.
But what? They were playing charades. I got as far as it was a movie.
They shut up, Nate. It's gonna take longer than 2 minutes to explain it to you. We'll explain it afterwards.
They want people to go eat with them.
Yeah, what does that have to do with Michael Bay?
And Star Trek.
And threshering.
All right. Seriously, Shia LaBeouf dies and goes to robot heaven. What the fuck?
That was episode 26 of Crippled System.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.